Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Artist Roundtable. This is where you, the independent artists, the underground artists from all art forms and all, you know, walks of life from anywhere in the United States is welcome to call in and join the Artist Roundtable. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. And generally, you know, sometimes I have topics to throw out on the table. Other times we kind of just go with the flow. And always, until that first caller calls in, I wait and just play a variety of music from artists that you can find from around the world. Tonight I do have a topic to throw on the table, and it's attitude. You know, is your attitude helping you take things to the next level as an artist, or is your attitude getting in your way, or do you even know? So anyway, that's my thought for time tonight. If by chance somebody else has another topic they'd like to talk about, we can put that on the table also. But in the meantime, I am going to just start out by playing some music from a variety of artists from around the world. And this is Black Eyes with their piece, Whisper in the Wind.
Whisper in the wind.
step up, step back, and take control. Even though it seems desolate, barren, and deceitfully cold. You enter the kingdom of forever, so feel your true vibrations. Remember your inner spirit will change and save nations. Love, everlasting. Universe, everlasting. People, everlasting. Positive change comes from your sincere inner asking. The strength of mind in one versus the lack in many. Equation moves thick, denominator flawed. Life lived humbly, stand up and applaud. I said life lived humbly, please stand up and applaud. Ancient mystic calculations, Trinity 3. Thought, word, action. Man, woman, child. Happiness, anger, sadness. It begins where it ends, and it ends where it begins. So come on, y'all, just listen to those whispers.
To Black Eyes with Herb Therapies, Whisper in the Wind, and they are out of the Ohio area. I'm going to play a piece by Seattle's very own Chocolate, and this is Grown Folks.
Got it all right, but you learned the lesson.
with Turkey's Grown Folks. So, welcome to the Artist Roundtable. You know, this is where the underground independent artists, small business owners that provide services to artists, or even fans are welcome to join in a conversation around a certain topic or even a couple of topics that, you know, pertain to the arts and, you know, how the artists could do things differently or better or smarter or whatever it is that you want to talk about. I had put it on the table tonight to talk about attitudes. And is your attitude one that's helping you take things to the next level, or is your attitude one that might be holding you back? The reason why I brought up this particular subject is I was reading a book by someone. I didn't even know that he was a motivational speaker. I didn't even know that he wrote books or had services out there around, you know, topics such as attitude. But this is by a gentleman that I actually grew up knowing, and he was going out of high school when I was coming in, and this is a book called Attitude is Everything by Keith Harrell. And unfortunately, he passed away this past year from cancer. But I've been reading his book, and, you know, it really, really makes a lot of sense, and it can just fit in anywhere, in anybody's life, in any part of their life, you know, how important attitude is to anything and everything. But until that first caller calls in, I'm just going to keep playing tracks, you know. You know what? I hardly ever play this particular artist. I've met him once. I've had him on the leopard carpet, you know, with me. He's got a very kind, gentle spirit. But when he's on stage, he's a monster. And this is Cheyenne Salal with his piece, Hustler.
I mean, ain't nothing new under the sun, baby. I'm raised on Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, B.B. King, James Brown. And when it comes to this hip-hop, it's like, you know, if they my influence, how would they fit? Huh? You dig? No, really. You dig? Yo. Y'all can't knock the hustler. I'm about my dollar, about my skrill. That dance rail, how I feel. Watch me spill liquid lyric and spit as lava. Baby's mama bring the drama, but I ain't acting, I'm just laughing. Life is sport, I'm the captain of the team, love the dream. Then my actions bring the cream. So watch the bank, to God I thank. Money stay high like stanky dank. This new pimpin', Dawn's the evil, flow stay gifted. She's so low, she needs some lifting. Save a hoe, no, not this pimpin'. This is scripture without a book, boy. Tryna make cheese like Tillamook, boy. Pay attention, I know the truth hurts. Socks on my knees like Michael Cooper. I'm not a hooper, I'm a hustler. 6'20" plus tall, motherfucker. Yeah, say it, baby. You know you wanna be my lady.
All right, that was Hustla by Cheyenne Salon. He is out of the Pacific Northwest Federal Way area. Now I'm going to take you down to Oakland, California, while I'm waiting for that first caller. And by the way, the call-in number for the Artist Roundtable is 347-857-1189. But you know how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to keep playing tracks till that first hand goes up. And this is Kari Ture with his piece, Lost Paradise.
They say it's better to have loved and to have lost than to have never loved at all. This is a poem dedicated to the love I lost. I met her in college. I was seduced by her smile, her charisma and style, and I loved how she wore a mini skirt tight. We met during the spring semester, and I'll never forget her. It felt like love at first sight. Her name was Paradise, and I was spellbound by her honey brown eyes. She smelled fresher than the scent of spring, and I knew it was real love, far from a fling, because inside of my stomach I could feel the flutter of butterfly wings. See, back then I was a starving college student with no money to spend, so I wrote Paradise love poems. I wrote up how her kisses tasted sweeter than cinnamon, brown sugar, and honeycomb. Evenings at my place, we cuddle in a passionate embrace. She rubbed my head while laying in bed, listening to the love poems I read and wrote exclusively for her. See, being young and naive, I wanted to believe that our love could withstand hurricanes of hard times. And once we weathered our storms, we would be happily wed together forever. However, during her junior year in college, her kisses began to feel cold like the frigid weather of the winter season. My lack of money became the main reason. Paradise started receiving bad grades, complained her tuition could get paid due to a lack of financial aid. And I tried to persuade Paradise to stay enrolled in college, but she was no longer thirsty for knowledge. She no longer wanted to pursue a college degree. She wanted a new pair of shoes and a shopping spree. And her birthday was coming up, so in order to purchase new boots, she decided to start stripping down to a birthday suit. It was then that temptation entered our relation, disguised as a female acquaintance. Camouflage beneath Gucci and Prada, temptation was high maintenance. Temptation enticed Paradise into becoming a stripper. Gave her advice on how to spot a big tipper. Taught her how to keep men in a trance by moving the voluptuous hips during a lap dance. Paradise was on a mission to purchase purses from Christian Dior. She wanted diamonds to glisten and didn't have time to listen to my love poetry anymore. Eventually, she got her own place and we parted. I missed seeing her face and I was left feeling lonely and brokenhearted. But I would see her on TV making cameos and low-budget music videos. I even heard she was doing pornos with her body fully exposed. But a few years ago, I got news that Paradise was sick. It turns out she was slowly dying of the AIDS virus. In all these years we've been apart, I assumed that she was married to a baller living in wealth. But when I went and saw her, she was a shell of a former self, dying from deteriorating health. Her skin was pale, she looked thin and frail. She weighed less than 80 pounds on the scale as a result of having a low count of T-cells. And she admitted to having unsafe sex to get paid. Because the men wore no latex, she ended up contracting AIDS. And she told me, Kari, I learned that all the glitter ain't gold. And I sold the devil my soul the day I started sliding down that strip of pole. I kissed Paradise on her forehead, lovingly held her hand, and it was then I began to recite all the love poems I had written for her while back in college. And I tasted the bitter taste of my own tear stain when I reminded her of how her kisses used to taste sweeter than cinnamon, honeycomb, and sugar cane. And after I spit the last poem, her health began to fail. She took a last breath and exhaled, and I kissed Paradise farewell. And I cried all night when I came home to write this poem, wishing that Paradise had never died of acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. And enticed by the allure of selling her body for a price, I would tell her, sweetheart, no amount of money has worth your life. And ironically, just the other day, dancing erotically in front of me as I walked past the strip club, I saw a beautiful brown-skinned exotic dancer that reminded me of the love I lost. So I walked up to her in a gentle, loving tone, and I told her these words. Sweetheart, always practice safe sex and never think twice, or you may end up paying the ultimate price. And when she asked me why was I relaying this advice, I recited this poem of how I lost.
That was Kari Ture with his piece, Lost Paradise. So I want to welcome everybody. I see there are several people actually listening to this show live. I see there's a few guests that are in the chat room. This is the Artist Roundtable streaming to you live off of Flavor News Radio and featured on Ruddings Radio in the UK, London. There's finally a caller that's raised their hand, so maybe they just want to be kind to me and save me tonight and help me start this conversation. It only takes one to start the conversation, so let's see what the caller has to say. Well, Kevin, welcome to the Artist Roundtable.
Hey, lady, how are you doing?
I'm doing well now that you raised your hand. I'm like, okay, is somebody going to call in? Sometimes it takes like 30 minutes into the show, and I'm like, okay.
Well, I figured I had to break the ice. I just can't wait forever. So I just went ahead and dove in.
I appreciate it.
So you picked a hot topic tonight.
So do you think that's a good topic to discuss, or do you have another topic you'd like?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, as far as, you know, the artistry that I'm involved in, you know, being music and bands and such, so... Yeah, it's pretty appropriate.
And like I was saying earlier as you were listening, Kevin, you know, I'm reading this book by Bruce Harrell called Attitude is Everything. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was a star basketball player here, you know, in Seattle when I was coming up to then, you know, moving on and working for IBM and, you know, becoming a motivational speaker. And the way that he describes how attitude can either just, you know, put you out there and allow you to create good things to then, you know, it could just totally hold you back, you know, and you never, you know, achieve, you know, your dreams, your goals, whatever you might set before you. And I thought, you know, how many times have I had conversations with artists? And I'm really good about, like, listening to their words and watching body language and things like that, or just kind of, you know, the topics that they talk about. And then I think about the topics that I even talk about, you know, and sometimes I'll have to admit, Kevin, you know, I think my own attitude can kind of get in the way of me, you know, moving forward on some certain things, you know. So I thought,
sure.
You know what, why not talk about that? Because, you know, there have been some, okay, we could talk about Stephen Ferguson, you know, being, you know,
sure.
in the Army and, you know, how he had that conversation, you know, and you had heard him talk about this, how, you know, when they started the band over there in Germany, how, you know, everybody kind of got comfortable at one point and kind of got a bit of an ego that they didn't think that they needed to come to practice. And then, you know, once that started happening, you know, the band kind of, in a sense, fell apart, you know, and by the time they returned stateside, they didn't exist anymore. So even when you don't have that dedication as a team, as a unit to come together and make the artwork, that means, in a sense, you know, attitudes weren't on the same page and that got in the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I can absolutely relate to that. And, you know, that's that, you know, the what you refer to is, you know, the getting comfortable and kind of feeling like, you know, you made it. I don't know what that means. But to the point where you don't have to, you just stop working at it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, that's the absolute wrong attitude. You know, it's a lot harder to stay somewhere than it is to get somewhere, as far as I can tell.
Right.
In fact, once you get to a point, you know, the stakes are raised a little bit, and you kind of have to work that much harder, you know, to keep all the balls in the air. And, you know, apathy and, you know, ego, you know, those types of things, they just don't work.
Right.
You know, when you talk about, you know, like working as a unit, as far as bands go, it's just, you know, it's an imperative. You know, how are you going to, you just can't have five different personalities going in five different directions.
Sure.
Or with five different goals and expect to call yourself a group.
Right.
So, yeah, for me, I've dealt with that very same thing quite a bit, and it's really frustrating. So,
sure.
you know, as far as attitude goes, that is one of those negative attitudes that really has an effect on a group and you know, can really ruin an otherwise, you know, harmonious situation. So
sure. Well, and I would imagine in a group type situation that, you know, once one person gets an attitude and it's negative, and it's kind of like a domino effect, because once the other members of the band or the team or whatever, you know, hears it and feels it, they take on a negative reaction. Even if they don't agree with the person or they do agree, whatever the is, you know, it's like, I would imagine it's just going to, you know, it's a domino effect, and that's kind of hard to get back on the same page and get it back to where you're creating and, you know, working as a unit to put on, you know, a show such as, you know, being a part of a band like you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, you know, I think that sometimes with my own self, you know, I allow, you know, situations or how I'm feeling, or, you know, I'll be honest, I'll get on my own pity pot about something. And, you know, for instance, okay, I just got back to, I'm actually on my desktop tonight. I haven't been on my desktop for 3 or 4 months. You know, my hard drive just shut down, you know,
right.
and stuff. And so I've been working off of this little mini laptop, you know, and as I was downloading, you know, different programs and stuff like that, shoot, the mini laptop almost just died too, you know. So I had to start, you know, deleting programs and this and that. But I was like, you know, there were times like, oh, my God, I can't get into Photoshop. I can't get in, you know, to do certain things. I'm trying to work on this project. I can't see the whole screen, you know. And I got myself all worked up that I think that, you know, I got in my own way, you know, of continuing to be productive. And, you know, so I honestly just let some things just stop, you know. And I'm sure that I could have done something, I could have problem solved around it, you know, and continued doing certain things. But, you know, I allowed myself to get frustrated that I just stopped, you know, working on certain things, you know. And now I can, now that my desktop is back, which is great, but at the same time, I'm sure I could have made it happen, you know, if I hadn't allowed myself to get frustrated. So, you know, I think there's different ways that people can, you know, get in the way of their self. I think that also there's different ways that if you take on a great attitude and you stay focused, instead of becoming the victim, instead of becoming negative and you know, staying positive and doing your research or your homework or exploring other options when something, you know, goes awry or whatever it is, it can help you, you know, be able to continue moving forward and making things happen. So, you know, I don't know. That's just kind of one of the reasons that I wanted, you know, to bring up this particular subject tonight.
Yeah. Well, that's a great example, is, you know, falling victim to your own frustration and to the point where it really keeps you from moving forward. And, you know, that can be an individual thing, or it can also be a band thing. You can get
mm-hmm.
frustrated as a band, and it essentially just keeps you from, you know, progressing. You know,
right.
And stuff is inevitably going to happen.
Right.
You just really, it really is just kind of in how you deal with it. And if you have a positive attitude, and or at least you try to maintain, nobody's going to be 100% positive all the time.
Oh, you're right.
It's impossible, and I'm not sure I could
right.
even stomach somebody like that.
Right.
But you can make an effort to try and keep a positive attitude and just keep stuff moving ahead. There's all kinds of obstacles and situations, and that's just normal stuff.
Right.
And then you put the band, the personalities and stuff involved, it can it can get out of hand in a hurry. So
well, and I you know what, I would imagine when it comes to bands, I think that everybody could, you know, walk in the door and hear each other's talents and appreciate that. I think the trick would honestly be, Kevin, like how to mesh personalities together versus the talents, huh?
Sure, and the styles, yeah, absolutely. I mean, chemistry on that level is pretty important. You know, I just, you know, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, it really doesn't hurt, you know, if everybody kind of gets along and can tolerate each other and, you know, enough to come together. And, you know, you can have great individual players.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily make a great band.
Sure.
You know, you can get a bunch of virtuosos in a band and throw them together in a pit, and they'll just bump into each other. You know, they'll try and, you know, get into that power struggle of, you know, who's the alpha. You know, like the alpha male of the situation.
Right.
I'm the leader.
Well, and you know what, and I'll be honest. I think I'm very much in many ways an alpha female. You know, and so, and you know,
but there's nothing wrong with that.
But I think that sometimes, you know, my personality can be intimidating to certain people, you know, because I can just be kind of direct. I can be very loving and caring, you know, but there are certain things that I can just be very direct about when it comes, especially when it comes to business. I've learned to not just, like, poo-poo around, you know. It's just like, because I've spent, you know, years where I just try to be kind, and it took a lot of time and energy, you know. And the information that I was trying to put out just wasn't received. And so I'm like, now I've learned, you know, to just, you know, be to the point, you know, but, you know, still at the same time, you know, be, you know, approachable, you know, and friendly and kind and everything. And that just works, honestly, a lot better for me right now, you know, at this stage of the game and stuff. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, being a part of the artist community, being part of the entertainment community, because there are so many personalities out there. And you know what? There's a young man that approached me, and this just absolutely killed me. It killed me. He says, "You need to put me on your show next week." I was like, "Excuse me? You know, how about approaching me by saying, you know, Lady Flava, I'd really like to come on one of your shows. You know, when would you have the next opening?" You know, or something to that approach. And I was like, you know, we need to make this happen. You need to have me on. I've got all these projects going on. And I'm like, you know what, the way he came at me, I don't know if he'll ever get on my show. You know,
Well, there's a certain dynamic. I mean, you know, you want to be, I mean, on one hand, I appreciate the guy's, you know, drive to go after what he's trying to get.
Right.
Right. I mean, because we all kind of do that. You know, we want to make stuff happen. But there's kind of a way to go about it. You know, relationships are pretty critical in this situation, because you really have to deal with people on a lot of different levels. And so, you know, that does fall under that attitude. I mean, you know, as far as the alpha thing goes, that can serve you well in certain situations. You know, as far as business goes, well, you know, you kind of do need to be direct and to the point about what's happening, because it's business. And sometimes you can't worry about hurting somebody's feelings, you know,
right.
when there's large amount of investment of time and or money. So, but at the same time, that needs to be tempered to the point where you're not overbearing
right.
In that situation. So it's all how you deal with it. A lot of musicians are alpha types. I really believe that.
Okay.
That's what got them to the situation. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's interesting that you say that because, you know, in some of the interviews that I've done, you know, over the past year and a half or so with a variety of artists, you know, there's some that are just monsters when it comes to what they create, you know, as far as an artist. You know, but when it comes to actually talking and interviewing, they're very kind of like soft-spoken and, you know, aren't as engaging in conversation as you might think that they would be in, you know, in how they are as a musician or as a writer or as a poet or whatever.
Right. Oh, is this really going that badly?
I'm not talking about you. I think you must be pretty comfortable because you call into my shows pretty regularly. So
I'm a regular. I understand a bit. You know, a lot of these cats, they go out there and they're like you said, they're like monsters, but then they can be so. I don't know, maybe it's just humble or whatever, and you know, they just have a hard time promoting themselves.
Right.
And the only way they know how to do it is to actually do it. And so a lot of times that's why, you know, that's why you have management, that's why you have promotion situations. So they can do that. And
right. Well, I mean, if you're lucky enough to have that kind of team,
right,
to help you with that part, because I can totally see that. I remember, you know, when I had the open mics at my coffee shop, and you know, certain artists would get on the stage and just be just powerful, you know, but the minute they stepped off that stage, you could hardly get them to say anything, you know. But you know, it's interesting, you know, that you say that there are some people that are just really good at just, you know, creating and all of that. But when it comes to actually talking about themselves, talking about their creativity or promoting themselves, that's something that they find difficult. But, you know, I want to welcome anybody and everybody to join us in this conversation. The call-in number for the Artist Roundtable is 347-857-1189. I know there's a few people that are listening on the line. There are some guests that are in the chat room, and there's a bunch of people that are listening live. So, you know, if you want to chime in on this tonight, I did put it on the table, you know, attitudes. Let's talk about attitudes. Is yours getting in the way, or is yours, you know, helping you take things to the next level as an artist, an underground artist, an independent artist? Because, you know, that's who Lady Flava deals with. But you know what, Kevin? What'd you feel about if I play your track tonight?
Oh, okay. Hey, you know, go ahead.
Okay, you all right with that?
You know what? Hey, well, what the heck? Because I mean, it wasn't really something that I expected to put out there. You know, I was just I was basically just entertaining myself.
Well, this is Kevin from Speakeasy Unplugged, an amazing band right here in the Pacific Northwest. And after I finish playing his rendition of Riviera Paradise, I'll let him give a plug for his band and where they're going to be performing here soon.
That'll work. I'll try to prepare myself with the pertinent information.
All right. So this is Kevin from Speakeasy Unplugged.
Thank you.
That was Riviera Paradise by none other than Kevin from Speakeasy Unplug, who is live on the phone with me tonight on the Artist Roundtable.
Okay.
well,
that's the first time I ever heard myself over the phone.
So, how did that feel, Kevin?
Oh, yeah, it feels fine. It feels fine. You know, it is what it is. I don't know what else to say about that.
We're going to have to talk to you about your attitude.
You know, I've been meaning to have a chat with myself about that.
Yeah, I think
because I'm really getting out of hand.
Yeah, you need to take some lessons, you know, from like Stephen Ferguson or somebody. You know, when I ask him that question, you know, he does pretty good, you know. With the answers. I know you must watch like your performances when somebody records and performs. No?
I'm just so critical that I guess I'll never be satisfied, but...
Okay. See, I think we are going to have to talk. We're going to have to deal with your attitude.
Okay, well, hook me up with a copy of Dude's book.
Yeah, I think...
Attitude is everything.
I'm going to have to do that. You need a copy of Keith Harold's Attitude is Everything. You know what, I should really honestly look into, you know, if I could get a wholesale, you know, case of this and give out copies. But anyway, that was an amazing piece by Kevin from Speakeasy Unplug, who is the guitar player for this particular band out of the Pacific Northwest. So, Kevin, why don't you give us a rundown of where you guys are going to be performing here in the very near future?
Okay, April 10th, we will be at the Saigon Palms from 7 to 10. That's a Sunday night grooves hosted by R. Curtis. And then on the 22nd, we will be back at the Twisted Cork at the Bellevue Hyatt, which is a Friday. On the 23rd, we will be back at the Scarlet Tree, which you came out and saw us there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a fun gig. On April 30th, we are going to be doing an event with a couple other acts. A band called Mother Knows Best. They're a 10-piece band, dance band. They play around casinos around here.
Okay.
And of course, Josephine Howell, the amazing R&B soul singer. And there's also going to be a comedian on the bill. And I'm going to avoid him at the show because I can't remember his name now to give him a plug. And I'll make it up to him. We got a month before the show.
right.
And then May 7th, we are going to be playing the Kidney Fest, which is at the African American Academy. And that's going to be...
Oh, wow, okay.
That is going to be... that is a benefit for... It's one of the largest benefits for kidney African American related stuff. So,
okay.
And then that same day, that night, we're going to be playing at Thompson's Point of View.
Okay. You guys got all kinds of gigs booked.
Well, that's I could only remember so many.
On the spot,
but we have many more on the books. We're almost booked up through pretty much all have June locked up, and we're starting to work on July. So yeah, we're starting to play a lot. It's starting to get really exciting.
Well, I think that if you are in the Pacific Northwest. I think you should join. If you're not on Facebook, join Facebook and find Speakeasy Unplugged so you can stay up on, you know, all of their performances. And I have to tell you, you know, speaking from my own personal experience, you would not be disappointed, you know, in experiencing this band. Excuse me. They're absolutely amazing. They're very dynamic. Lots of energy, lots of fun. And the time that I saw them at the Scarlet Tree, it was packed, you know, wall-to-wall people up dancing and having a good time. You know, both floors were packed, so definitely you want to stay up on what's going on with this band. And I swear, it sounds like some gigs were added on from the show that Kevin just called into the other night. So, but
we had like three or four shows added since yesterday.
Okay.
So
I'm going to bring Stephen into the conversation right now.
Oh, absolutely.
He's raised his hand. So welcome to the Artist Roundtable, Stephen Ferguson.
Hey, my ears were burning. Was somebody talking about me?
I was talking about you. I'm thinking you
know
need
how
to get
she is.
I know. Mm-hmm. I just want to, you know, put people on the spot, you know. But I'm thinking, you know, Kevin needs an attitude adjustment.
What's up, Kev? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing all right.
I've been listening to some of your tracks, man.
Yeah, that one she just played of yours, I dig that, man. That was nice.
Oh, thanks.
That was cool.
I really would enjoy putting something together.
Yeah, man. We're gonna do that. You know.
Yeah.
We're gonna do that definitely.
And thanks to Lady for providing that opportunity. Musicians to connect and do stuff like that. So you're creating a forum.
You know, well, I appreciate it, too, because, you know, when I put together these radio shows, I'll be honest, I really did not anticipate, you know, the connections and the collaborations that would be coming out of these shows, you know, and especially with you, Kevin. I mean, you just jumped out there. I'm just like, wow, you know, collaborating with
Delon pushed me.
And
no.
I pushed too. Yeah, that's the alpha female in me. Huh? Okay,
that's what it was.
I said, Kevin, you need to connect with Delon because, you know, yeah. And Kevin, you need to connect with Stephen Ferguson and do something. But, you know, what can I say? It's a beautiful thing, though. It's exciting.
Yeah, you just out there, cracking the whip on us, aren't you?
Oh, is that what I'm doing?
Have mercy.
Uh-oh. You know,
Okay.
Yes,
ma'am. Okay.
Maybe I need to tone down my alpha.
No, no, you do. No, you don't.
Work on your attitude here. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I guess maybe I'm allowing that German side of me to come out. I could step into that Japanese side of me. I know how to be meek and mild.
Okay, all right.
Well, you got some German in you, huh?
My mom's German and my father's Japanese.
Ah, so we all have experience with Germany. I know Stephen, he was stationed over there. I was stationed over there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
We should all get together and have a schnitzel.
Okay. when I would, you know, be in a foul mood or whatever, you know, have that bad attitude, you know, I'd blame it on my German side. My poor mother, huh? When my good side was always my daddy, and, you know, my rotten side was always my mama. You know, she always got the short end of the stick. So, yeah, poor mommy. I'm so sorry about that. But so, Stephen, what do you think about the conversation around attitude? You know, either getting in the way, or, you know, either, you know, allowing an artist, you know, to be able to take things to the next level.
It can work both ways. A bad attitude can hurt you, and a good attitude can do nothing but help you. Let's see, guys talking about how sometimes you can see an artist on stage and they're, you know, a completely different personality than when they come off and all. And, you know, you actually see that a lot. The good ones learn how to, because, Kevin, you probably noticed for sure that a lot of times some of your business deals are made right after you get off stage.
Hey, absolutely. That's when it's hot.
Yeah, so you still have to have that same type of attitude, not the same attitude that you had on stage, but you have to have that business attitude about you when you come
right
on stage. Because I know people used to approach us, I mean, right after a set was over, and people would come up and say, hey, I want you to come play at my place. I want you to do this. And you need to be able to make that attitude swing between the performer, then to the business person. Then later on, when you want to be yourself, you know, when you're away from everything and all that, that's fine and good. But,
yeah.
And so you have to learn how to temper that.
You know, that's a great point. That's something I've never even thought about, Stephen. I'm really appreciative that you brought that up, because I would imagine you are so right. That kind of comes down to, you never know who's in the audience.
Exactly.
You know, and somebody, you know, coming up to you and saying, you know, hey, you know, I'd love to book you for this gig, or I'd, you know, love to collaborate with you, or, you know, whatever. I mean, anything could happen. And so, you know, that's a great point, you know, and I think that's something that I would definitely need to bring up on future shows.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people out there right now trying to find that right attitude right now. You know, you got a lot of people, a lot of independent artists in this business. They're very talented, very smart people, you know, out there hustling, doing their thing. But they're still trying to find their own personality, their own, you know, their own persona that they can use to their advantage.
Sure.
And, you know, it took me a while. You know, it takes a while, because you have to realize who you are, what your strengths are, and base your attitude off your strengths.
Yeah. Stephen brings up some excellent points. You know, play, number one, you got to play to your strengths. And, you know, you don't want to be somebody that you're not, but, you know, like you said, yeah, I mean, I agree that some people just haven't found their stride on that level. Although they're extremely accomplished as musicians, they just haven't necessarily acquired that skill yet, and maybe have avoided it.
I think that you're right.
Yeah, some people may be flat out afraid of it.
Yeah, they don't want to touch it.
Yeah, they don't want to mess with it. They
just call me when I'm supposed to gig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I know that, you know, even like, you know, with the group Black Stacks that I work with, you know, out here in Seattle, you know, I had all three of them on one of my shows one day as a featured guest. And, you know, like Felicia Loud, who's the lead female vocalist and soul singer, you know, she was like, okay, you know, like turning over the business part to like Jace to handle or whatever. You know, yet Jace, you know, wants all three of them to be very aware and understand, you know, the business part of it and stuff. But she made it really clear that that part was not something that she's comfortable with. But because she is a part of a group and they all have their different strengths that bring to the table that make it all work, I think it works out fine for them. But I think that you're right. I think that when it comes to being an artist, you're not necessarily I think there's probably few artists that are totally comfortable with all aspects of, you know, what it takes to get out there and make things happen as an artist.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely. You know, my advice to those kind of people are that you just tell yourself that it's a business. It's nothing personal. You know, you're just out there trying to, you know, create, you're trying to promote your own self as a company almost. And it's like I said, it's nothing personal. Nobody's going to judge you on a personal level. So you could be personal with people, but still be professional with them. And it's like you were talking about the guy that approached you about being on your show.
Right.
You know, there are rules to the game. Okay? I mean, that's the bottom line of it. You know, and you have to follow the rules.
Yeah. And
you
rule
know,
number one, don't annoy the people that you're trying to get on your side.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, and that thoroughly annoyed me. That really honestly did. That really annoyed me. You know, just because I thought, well, who are you? Like, I'm supposed to drop everything I'm doing next week to have you on a show? I don't think so. You know, that's just not going to happen. And even if I could do it, I didn't like the way that he approached me.
Mm.
You know, so, but the thing is like, you know, right now, you know, I'm booked out, you know, for the next month or so on certain shows and stuff. And so, you know, because of the popularity that I have gained, I'm being approached all the time. And it's interesting because I'm being approached by people that don't know me, you know, or I don't know them. And so obviously the word or something has gotten out to people beyond who I think, you know, I know and know me, you know, that they're wanting to come on my shows. And so it's like, it's not that easy to say, hey, Lady Flava, I want to be on your show tomorrow. You know,
right.
I want to be on your show next week. That's just, you know, I'm booked. And so, yeah. And there's just, you know, if he would have came to me and said, hey, you know, Lady Flava, I have time next week. Do you? Could I come on your show? You know,
I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I bought you a leopard stuffed animal. No.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me write that down.
That's
leopard
right.
Stuffed animals.
If you want to get anything, you know, from me,
okay,
give me a leopard stuffed animal.
Yeah, I'll send it over with my next track.
And I will love it. I will love that track. I will cherish it. I will play it every single show that I do. And yeah, that'll win me over big time. So, but yeah, there is a way. I think that it's okay to be confident in who you are and what you do. But I think that there's a way of coming across, especially like what you were saying, coming across to the people that you in a sense need, you know, in helping you take things to the next level.
Yeah,
you know,
develop a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah. But, you know, so again, you know, I've been talking about attitude tonight. That's a subject that I've been thinking about a lot. And I'm not excluding myself, you know, because I've got attitude issues myself. And, you know, there are things that I know that I have done. There are things that I know that I have said that have gotten in my own way, of being able to, you know, move forward in what it is that I'm trying to do, you know. And another thing that I have to work on and realize for myself, I'm deserving of better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, being able to ask for certain things or whatever to be able to, you know, take things to the next level for myself, I need to learn to get comfortable with that and know that that's okay too. So it's, you know, there's just a whole lot of things. And so when I decided to talk about this particular subject, it wasn't, you know, excluding, you know, myself, you know, and trying to put myself up there like, hey, I'm perfect, because I'm not. And I'm with you, Kevin. I don't know if I'd want to be around somebody who was just like perfect all the time, you know.
just for the simple reason that I think it would be fake.
Right.
It would just be kind of phony. And I mean, you know, come on, this is life. Nobody's giddy all the time, and everything's just rolling the way it's supposed to. And, you know, there's just stuff that you're going to have to deal with. And So you made a statement. It's like, well, I'm really direct about stuff, you know. But see, I appreciate that. I really appreciate knowing where somebody's coming from, and in a real way. And sometimes you really just can't necessarily sugarcoat it. Just put it out on the table. So you know, I appreciate direct more than I do somebody else speaking in code that I'm supposed to figure out what they're really trying to say.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a whole lot easier dealing with people when they say exactly what they mean.
Right. Say what you mean. And
okay, I wonder what they were talking about, really. You know,
what are we really talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to decipher that code.
Right.
You want to, and then here's the killer, is that other person gets frustrated because you don't understand where they're coming from.
Right.
I mean, there's a whole can of worms involved there, and it could have simply been solved if you'd just been straightforward from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I don't know if that falls under attitude, but.
Oh, definitely.
Well, I do think that how you choose to communicate, you know, is a sense, a part of who you are and your attitude, you know, and I think that. You know, people can have a superior type attitude and think that they are communicating clearly, and maybe in their own mind they're communicating clearly,
mm-hmm.
and you're just like, okay, what the hell did they just say? Can you, like, speak in layman terms? Can you, you know, make yourself clear? And I think that there are people like that enjoy hearing their own voice and think that they're really saying something, then they're not. And I think that is an attitude thing.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
So
yeah,
absolutely. You know, again, we are on the Artist Roundtable tonight, and I appreciate Kevin and from Speakeasy Unplugged from right here in the Pacific Northwest joining me, along with Stephen Ferguson from Kansas, who is an amazing jazz musician out of, you know, the Kansas area, joining me tonight on the conversation. But if there's anybody else who would like to join in the conversation, the call-in number is 347-857-1189. And I'm going to stop here and play a piece by Stephen Ferguson. This is one of the newer pieces that I just received. And if you missed the feature of Stephen Ferguson being on the leopard carpet with me this past Tuesday, you really need to go back and check out the archives. It was a great time. We ran out of time. It was like, okay, I didn't even get to cover, you know, some of the conversation that I wanted to cover with him. But this is Daybreak by Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
we're gonna.
All right. You are listening to the Artist Roundtable. We've been talking about attitudes with Kevin from Speakeasy Unplug and Stephen Jerome Ferguson. And that was one of Stephen's pieces off of his new CD, which is called We Are One, and that particular piece is called Daybreak. So, Kevin, I see you're back on the line, and I want you to pay attention to how Stephen responds when I said, Stephen, how does that feel to hear yourself on the radio?
Oh, boy.
Actually, I wasn't even listening.
I love it. See, that's the attitude.
Oh, see, you blew it, Stephen. You
and Kevin. No, that's perfect attitude. I don't even care.
Yeah, you guys must have been text messaging each other.
You know, this has happened before. I've listened to my music. You know, you played my music. A couple other blog talk DJs have played my music. And it always feels the same. It always feels strange. It feels good. But
yeah, it does.
It's a hard feeling to explain. You know, it's like, I don't know, watching your little kid go to kindergarten for the first day, or, you know, watching them graduate high school or something like that. It's a good feeling, but it's strange.
It can also be like witnessing childbirth.
Mhm. Yeah.
You know, it's quite horrifying.
Yeah.
But very satisfying at the same time.
Yeah, good at the same time.
Okay, Kevin, you're trying to redeem yourself now that you've got Stephen on your side. Huh?
No, hey, I know. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to try.
No, but I understand what you're saying, just because when I built my coffee shop, you know, I spent a lot of time working with an architect and, you know, laying on my floor, drawing out how I wanted it to look, and then going to the paint store and picking out the paint and picking out a variety of, you know, furniture and everything, because nothing looked the same. It was all just, you know, different flavors of this, that, and the other. And, you know, that was like giving birth to a baby, you know, and watching, you know, the the architect drawings, you know, turn into, you know, actualities by the contractors that I hired and everything. I mean, and that was kind of scary, you know, and then to open up the doors in hopes that people would come in and buy coffee and love and appreciate, you know, what it was that I created. And so it is kind of scary to go that direction. You know, we've got another caller. I lost one caller that hand was up, so I'm hoping maybe they'll call back in. But let me bring in another caller from the 253. You are on the Artist Roundtable with Kevin and Stephen and Lady Flava.
Lady Flava, this is Josh Man Rock.
How are you, Josh Man Rock? I don't know why I just didn't catch your phone number there.
Oh, that's all good. How are you guys?
I should have, huh? Good.
So, I just wanted to say what's up, Kevin, Stephen. Hi, how are you guys?
What's up, Josh?
Hey, Josh. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Hey, I love the music, both of y'all. Great.
Thank you, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
No problem.
So what do you think about my topic, Josh?
Well, I think that this is a topic that I really believe in. For sure. I mean, a good attitude is I think, the most important thing, period. You know, because if you have a good attitude, you know, for the most part, you're doing the right thing, you know. But I think it's all built upon respect, though, first of all.
Sure. Good point.
That's true.
Respect for others, you know, definitely respect for others. And more importantly, like, respect for yourself.
Sure.
You know, like, you can't go out there and you can't lie to people. You know, you got to be honest. Like, you know, you got to be able to take it on the chin if people don't like your music. You know,
right.
and say, that, hey, that's okay. You know, it might not be for you, but try to listen and see what you can be better. Like, even if it's delivered in a way that really kind of gets you.
Right.
Yep.
Because, you know, Stephen, what you were saying and Kevin earlier about professionalism, you know, when you're out in the public and you're an artist, you have to be a professional at all times. Like, you, even if you're not on stage, you're on stage.
Exactly.
Sure.
Because people are constantly judging you. How do you react with other people? You know, are you really a star? How do other people react to you? You know, do people give you love and come shake your hand and say what's up, or do people just eyeball them?
Right.
That's a real good point.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a very good point.
Your attitude will affect how you deal with your peers, how you deal with your fans, how you deal with your business associates. It's all based on your attitude.
It is.
Yeah.
I think we're all in agreement on this.
But I really do. I think I might check in and see how I might be able to get, you know, some copies of this particular book, you know, Attitude is Everything by Keith Harrell, because I just think that it's an easy read, but it just kind of points out in different aspects of your life, you know, how your attitude can get in the way of things. And, you know, I want to touch on something. We've only got like 34 minutes left. But I want to touch on something and see if there is any relevance to this part of attitude when it comes to being an artist. And in the back of the book, it talks about forgiveness. And it talks about, like, forgiving yourself. It talks about forgiving those others and being able to walk away, you know, and leave baggage behind. I know we talk about forgiveness and baggage when it comes to personal stuff, you know, and relationships around, you know, on a personal level. But what do you think about baggage and forgiveness when it comes to being an artist? Do you think that there are do you think that that may get in the way of an artist being able to move forward?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I'll let these guys go to put their two cents in, but yeah, I agree 100%.
So what would be an example of where forgiveness needs to be accomplished when it comes to an artist, you know, being held back and not being able to move forward?
I think, like, for instance, say within a band situation, you know, there's any number of scenarios that could come up where that would sort of end up with somebody being resentful about a situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that can take on, you know, varying degrees of where it was like, you know, a serious infraction to just somebody maybe not being as considerate as they could have been in varying situations, or as it applies to directly to the band in terms of effort or attitude. I think it's important because I think some things are, you know, a lot of infractions are forgivable in that, you know, if you deal with them in the right way and you put it on the table and deal with it, then you can address it and then move on. So to me, it's really important. You know, you just gotta forgive. And, you know, like being in a band, you know, you guys, I'm sure you can agree, you know, it's a really intimate situation. It's about as intimate a business situation as you can be in. So it almost crosses that line. So, you know, forgiveness and just in throughout, you know, just in your daily life, I think it's important. You know, don't walk around with resentment.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell a little story. I have not really ever talked about this on any of my shows. But I think that a deep, deep hurt that took place in my life back in 2008 in the artist community and the literary community, really, in a sense, I allowed it to steal my joy of literature. And I used to be an avid reader. You know, I could read, if at the least, a book a week, you know, and that's how I was able, in a sense, to step into the arena as a book reviewer. And that's how I really honestly became Lady Flava and got involved with artists. It started out with getting involved with self-published authors. And I got involved with a group, you know, formed a group that, you know, wanted to embark on creating a literary conference that went around the United States and stuff. And it just seemed like a perfect, you know, connection for me as a book reviewer, as an avid reader, as a supporter to, you know, the self-published authors, to get involved with something like that. And it went bad. It went really, really bad, you know, to the point that I ended up getting an attorney involved. And so I've held on to that. I'll be honest, I've held on to it, you know, the last 2-3 years. And I, in a sense, stopped reading books for reviews because of the hurt and disappointment that I went through in putting on a literary conference here in Seattle. So now that I've moved into a new space and I'm in a new place in just my own mind, I decided I really, really need to work on forgiving those people, even if I never have a conversation again, ever again, which I don't honestly plan to. But just within my own being, I feel like I need to learn to forgive them, because I miss reading and I really miss connecting with authors. And authors can be just as challenging as musicians and poets and all of that. But I miss reading. And I'm hoping that once I'm able to just let go and forgive this group of authors and people in the literary community, then and forgive myself, you know, in that situation, because I beat myself up. You know, it's kind of like getting in an abusive relationship. You want to say, oh, God, I saw the red flags and I should have known better, right? So I feel like for me, I've held myself back from something I really, really enjoyed because of being hurt by some people.
Yeah. I think if you guys don't mind me chiming in here, I think, like, if you have a lot of baggage, you know, I think that definitely holds back your potential as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because as an artist, the art you create is a reflection of who you are, right? So if you grow as a person, you also grow as an artist, and, you know, maybe be able to take that next step into, you know, and then take that next step, you know, and then. But I think if you hold on to that stuff, you know, it's almost like blinders. You know, you can't see anything other than that. You know, you can't see all the opportunities that may be in front of you.
Right.
Yeah, most definitely. But and lady, you know that the deeper the hurt, the harder it is to let it go. But
you
have moved on, and you know everybody does eventually move on. So you just got to realize that, like I say, you know, you got to, that baggage is heavy, and it will weigh you down.
And it has been weighing me down for a long time, way longer than it deserved, you know, and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And I believe, you know, that this is what's held me back from, you know, my passion of literature, you know, so... I've really been doing a lot of praying and a lot of, you know, self-talk and journaling and things, and just trying to find my way, you know, to let go of that, because I think that it's something that I really, really, really need to, as Lady Flava and as the founder of Flava News, and because Flava News was founded on the fact that I was a book reviewer. And, you know, I've totally, totally stopped doing that. So, you know, that's why I thought, you know what, maybe just bring that up too, because I wonder if there are relationships out there and things that have happened to artists that they are holding on to that baggage of something negative that's happened as an artist that's kind of holding them back, you know, from, you know, being able, excuse me, to, you know, move past that and really get into their creativity and really, you know, step out there and take things to the next level. So, you know, thank you for allowing me to share that part of attitude, you know, and I really was glad that that particular subject came up in the book, because I think it was something that I needed to read and I was ready to read. But, Kevin, your line is back open, but there is another caller on the line, so I'm going to also bring them in. So caller from the 206 area code 729, you are now on the Artist Roundtable.
Hi, it's Catherine.
Hey, Catherine, how are you?
I'm fine. This is a great topic. I can't believe it. It's great.
So what are your thoughts around it, Catherine?
Well, I think it's a lot of it has to do with maturing.
Mm-hmm.
As an artist, I mean, I just had a birthday, and with me, I feel like I'm too old sometimes.
Oh, please.
I know, huh? But that's something I'm dealing with, because with the media, I think how they portray artists sometimes is a lot more superficial, you know, so I stay away from television. I don't watch TV. I'm very selective what I take in, you know, and what I believe. I have to always decipher what is really true for me or not, as you know, as an artist. And it's a way of life too.
You know, and that's an interesting point, Catherine. I never even thought about that, so I'm glad that you brought that in. How the media can help kind of in a sense hinder how you see see yourself as an artist. And to just step back, Catherine is, she is just like, you know, I hope I don't start crying. Catherine was actually one of my very first customers at my coffee shop.
Yeah.
You know, she used to come in with her, she used to come into my coffee shop with her dog, Chester. And Chester didn't have a voice. He was this huge dog and he didn't have a voice, but just sweet. And she would hang out for hours as she was studying, you know, for school and stuff like that. And then, you know, as the years passed, you know, our relationship grew, you know, into a friendship. And she's a singer-songwriter. She is a author. She is a painter. And she's like multi-talented. You know, she has written, you know, a score for a movie. She has, you know, just really... You know, she just really got into, you know, being an artist and living in a sense the way that when somebody kind of has a freedom to just travel and just kind of go with your gut and take those chances and risks, you know, and you know, see what, you know, may come out of it. You know, that's Catherine to me. And, you know, before I closed my coffee shop, you know, Catherine was my Valentine date for a couple of years. We hung out in the coffee shop together and, you know, and had treats and read tarot cards and, you know, different things. And then one year we did a Valentine party we put on, and she was very instrumental in that. I'm so glad that you called in, Catherine.
Well, I am too, because this is a great topic, and I plan to listen more and participate. It's different than being in the same room with you.
It is different. But it's wonderful hearing your voice.
Yes. And, I can't say that I'm really successful like I want to be at this time, but I did finish my book. I sent it to some publishers and, you know, things are happening. It's just very slow. That's another thing. Sometimes things don't happen as quickly as you want them to, you know, in the arts. or you know, I've tried to get grants, and those haven't worked out sometimes, so it can be discouraging. But I usually get very positive feedback from people when I, you know, when I'm singing, or, you know, I usually, something balances out. But the financial aspect is difficult with the creative world, too.
Oh, and you know, and that's a great point. You know, it's I think that there are a lot of people, you know, that are taking on a creative role as an artist, and I'm wondering if some of it has to do with the fact that it's just really hard to find a job. Okay, so what do you do with your time? You know, okay, I can be a hip-hop artist, or I can, you know, write a book, or whatever it is. But when you do have a God-given talent that deserves recognition, and then, you know, in a sense, it takes money, you know, to be creative, whether it's, you know, keeping electricity on so that you can be on your internet, to having, you know, capabilities with a phone, to, you know, as an artist, whether it's, you know, purchasing or maintaining instruments, to the different equipment that you need, you know, like with Steven, he has, you know, a studio in his home, you know, down there in Kansas and stuff. So, I mean, all of this is, you know, it takes money, you know, to maintain, you know, and so.
Yes.
When you put so much time and energy and money into your creativity and then don't reap the rewards of, you know, any income coming from it, I would imagine that must take a toll on an artist's attitude.
I think so. Yeah, definitely. So for me, you know, Susan, I have my massage still, and I got my CNA license too, so I do other things. But it's sometimes too much, spreading yourself out so thin. It'd be nice just to be able to just sing, or, you know, focus on, you know, one thing, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to be a jack of all trades, you know. So,
I do understand that. I mean, I know I've heard artists say over and over. You know what, Catherine, there are times when I miss the coffee shop so much. There are times when I, you know, I just not that long ago sold my espresso machine. I held on to it since 2008 when I closed Flava. And it was like, that was one of the hardest things for me to do, was to sell my espresso machine, because it was almost like that final thing, you know, that, you know, kept Flava Coffee House real, you know. And so I was really glad when a friend of mine out of Washington, D.C. really encouraged me to create one of my shows and call it Flava Coffee House, because it, in a, you know, in my own way, it helps kind of keep my baby alive. So when Kevin was talking about, you know, giving birth, you know, to music or whatever, I kind of understand that, because when I you know, closed Flava, it was like I was, you know, walking away from my baby or whatever. And so, you know, and I miss, you know, like yourself, Catherine, and, you know, TC,
yeah,
who's in the chat room, is, you know, I met him at my coffee shop, you know, too, and stuff. And so just, you know, there are times that I wish now, with the artists that I know now and the artists that I know here, just right here in Seattle, I wish that Flava was still open so that I could have my open mics and shows and, you know, have them come and spend time with me there. But, you know, hey, what can I say? You know, I moved on to a different stage of Flava, and now it's Flava News and Flava News Radio.
Mm-hmm.
You got a new venue.
I have a new venue. It's online, and it reaches globally.
There you
yes.
go. You've moved
you
on to bigger
yeah.
and better things.
Well, and Catherine actually was there for my first event that, it's my second event ever hosting, but my first hip-hop event, and she was so loving and supportive to me. She was probably the single person that helped me make it through my event where, 25 people came?
Yes.
That was like, oh, my God. Yeah, so I had a bad attitude. I had a bad attitude after that particular event. I'll be honest.
No.
You didn't notice? That's because I was so happy to see you, Catherine.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were mad at me.
I was so happy to see you that honestly, I would swear on that right now seeing you there and you know, and you honestly looked like you enjoyed yourself, that made that night special. But boy, that was a hard one. That was a hard one, and I went home and I cried. I lost a lot of money on that event.
Oh.
And, you know, and a lot of time and a lot of planning went into it, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, I had a bad attitude. And I'll be honest with you, that particular event told me, like, okay, Susan, maybe you're not meant to do events. Because everything you thought went perfect about that event didn't in the end, you know, and so I just admit it. There's another thing that I need to let go of, you know, because that's kind of scary. I know that, Kevin, you've talked about that, you know, having an event or whatever and, you know, not knowing if people are going to show up or whatever and still being able to, you know, put on that show, you know, for a few bodies or whatever, so I imagine just something like that can just, you know, take a toll on an artist's, you know, attitude too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's all kind of factors. And I got to run, lady, but I just want to say, and sorry I had to duck out a couple times. LaTanya called me. And so I want to say hi to you from her.
Okay.
And she is going to join me the next time.
Oh,
and
that would
so
be
So she's
going
to come on and be a part of the conversation. And,
okay.
And I know she really wants to talk to you.
Oh, I
just as a friend,
because
you all go way back.
Yeah, LaTanya, who is the lead female singer for Speakeasy Unplugged, Kevin's band. She and I, we were, I was there for the birth of her son, you know, and everything. And, you know, and we worked together at New Beginnings for Battered Women and Their Children Emergency Shelter. And so I was so excited when I connected with her on Facebook again. And, you know, I went out and surprised her and to hear her sing when I saw that Speakeasy Unplugged was going to be performing. So I do want to talk to her just to have friend time, but it would be wonderful to have her come on the show too.
Yeah, and she'd enjoy it too. So
yeah.
Anyway, it was a great show, great topic.
All right.
I'm glad that I was able to participate in it.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in, Kevin.
The timing was actually pretty good, without getting really deep into it.
Mm-hmm.
it was very timely and appropriate, so I appreciate it and everything you do by giving us an opportunity to connect and showcase our stuff. So,
but you know,
anyway,
once,
thank you very much.
Oh, just I want to tell you something right quick, Kevin. So, so now that I'm back on my desktop and a bigger screen, will you email me the actual dates and locations and all that information for the event so that I can put it on my calendar on my website?
Absolutely, I will.
And, you know, and it would be lovely if you found out, you know, if there's a cover charge or not.
Oh, come on.
Boy, you ain't going to let
You put so much pressure on me.
Otherwise, I'm just going to announce to the world.
No. Oh, no. I know. And you know what? I am going to have every single pertinent fact of information available.
Okay.
And I
Don't
promise you that.
Party. Don't forget
me, hey, you know, Stephen, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah, I hear you.
she keeps letting you know.
Well, you know, what can I say? It's because, you know, I'm fond of you, okay? And I want people to come out. So this is something that's really important to me as just a fan. when somebody puts out information about an event, I like all the information. I like the address. I like to know the time it's starting, the time it's ending, and how much it costs.
I am gonna have everything from like the square footage to the name of the cocktail waitresses. I am be as thorough as anybody you have ever gotten gig information from. I promise you.
Okay. Good job.
Thank you for even putting it out there because I appreciate it, and I know the band really appreciates you putting it out there, not just here, but
days,
on your page.
Look, I think that one of these days we need to have Speakeasy Unplugged come on the leopard carpet.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Leopard carpet.
That would be great. Okay.
All right,
you guys have a great evening.
All right.
Take it easy,
Kevin.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. So, you know, Catherine, I don't know if you're aware of this. I know that you know that I love leopard print.
Yes, I do.
I've moved on to the fact that one day I want some leopard pom-poms.
Okay.
You know, because since I'm the artist cheerleader,
yes.
You know, I want, I need some leopard pom-poms.
You do. I can see
I do.
That. And then a whole outfit to go with the pom-poms.
Well, yeah, that could be scary, huh?
No. You know, I have a leopard cat now. Little kitty looks like a leopard. Yeah, he's a striped kitty.
And the kitty's name is Flava?
You know, maybe I'm going to give him another name.
That's
name
all right, Kevin.
Yeah.
That's all right, Catherine, because, you know,
okay.
I tell all the musicians, you know, out there that, you know, as they're creating, I think they need to either come up with a Flava piece or they need to come up with a leopard piece. I know Steven's in the studio working on one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, my gosh.
Did you fall asleep on me, Steven?
No, I didn't. I'm right here. I'm good. I'm all right.
Can you have a flavor piece for your introduction for your show?
Well,
I do need
a theme song, and I do need an intro for my On the Leopard Carpet, you know, show. Hint, hint.
Okay.
Steven was just on the leopard carpet with me, Catherine, on Tuesday.
I haven't been on that. I haven't listened to that show yet.
Oh, you need to listen to it. You need to listen to Steven on the leopard carpet because it was a great, great show.
Yeah,
okay.
I listened to the whole thing, and it was really good. Like, lots of cool talk. Some of the stories that we heard were really good. It was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. He got kind of deep on us.
Yeah, he did.
So that is definitely, if I was to stay out of the shows that I've done, that's definitely one of the top shows that I would recommend anybody to listen to is Stephen Ferguson on the Leopard Carpet with me.
Do you still have that in the archive? Yes, it's in the archive.
It's a good one. And, you know, I had to come up with the Leopard Carpet, you know, everybody's like on the red carpet, right? I have to do the leopard carpet.
Oh, that's great. It's very creative. I can visualize it.
Yeah, see? Catherine knows.
You have
knows
to visualize when you're on the radio, huh?
Yeah, you do. You have to visualize. Yeah. So I hope I do a good job with that, you know, visualization of how much I love leopard print. But, anyway, so I appreciate everybody, you know, indulging me on this particular topic because I think that, you know, I do. I think about attitude a lot, and I think about conversations that I've had with artists, you know, over the last few months especially, and how I've seen some absolutely great attitudes, you know, and I'm watching some people just really make some moves, and because they're positive, they're upbeat, and their attitude is great, and the way that they interact with people, I'm noticing that doors are opening up for them. excuse me. And then I've also noticed that there are other artists that that kind of have an attitude issue, you know, where it's negative and it's like everybody's against them and, you know, no doors are opening for them and, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, maybe we need to, you know, relook how you're seeing things. You know, let's think about who you're associating with.
Right.
You know, if those people are holding you back and putting you down and this, that, and the other, then maybe you should just step away from those, you know, people. And that's another thing in this particular book, Attitude is Everything by Keith Harold. He talks about, you know, identifying the negative people in your world.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that if there you have people in your world that are negative, that are not only maybe putting you down, but they just put everything down in their world, you know, whether it be, you know, people, you know, on the roads, you know, as they're driving, you know, having road rage to, you know, putting down everything in regards to their job and how horrible their job is, you know, to, you know, relationships that they have with people and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, that's another thing to identify is you know, the people in your world and who's, you know, what kind of attitudes do they have and how does that affect, you know, who you are and what you're trying to do.
Exactly. I totally agree on that one.
So how about you, Josh and Stephen? What do you think about that?
I definitely agree because a lot of times you could be guilty by association. If people see you around a lot of negative people all the time, even though you may not be, they will assume that you are just because you're with a lot of negative people. So, yeah, I kind of agree with that.
You know, I think some people use that as a crutch as well. I mean, I'm not saying that that's not what you're saying is correct because I believe a lot of people are like that. But, you know, people kind of use their situation as a crutch. There's a reason why they can't do it. And, you know, they're kind of always looking for an out, you know. You know, but what I would say is, you know, don't be afraid of success.
I'm telling you.
That's a good one.
A lot of people are.
Yeah, that's right. And the same things that are holding you back from your leaving the baggage and moving on and stepping forward away from that, that's the also like the next step is, you know, embracing the next move, you know?
Right.
You know,
right.
And
that is a very good point, Josh. And, you know, and I think that I experienced that too my own self. You know, as a business owner of Flavor Coffee House, and even at points of what it is that I'm doing, you know, sometimes I do get scared and say, "Ooh, you know, this is moving a little bit faster," or, you know, I didn't anticipate the radio shows to take off the way that they have. But then I'll be honest with you too, it's exciting to me, you know, and I like challenges. You know, and stuff. And so, you know, I think that that helps draw me into doing what it is that I do, too, just because it is exciting. It's kind of new. It's a challenge. And I'm so determined to figure it all out. And I'm very, very blessed to have, you know, people around me from all over the world that help me try to figure this out, you know. So TC was over today at my place, and he helped, you know, get me back running pretty, you know, functional here on my desktop and stuff, you know, today and stuff. And so I'm very, very appreciative to you, TC, out there in the chat room for, you know, what you did for me today and, you know, helping me take things, you know, further in regards to my online capability. And, you know, I think that that's another thing, too, is being able to identify who can help you. You know, if you don't know how to do something, who can teach you? You know, and trying to build those connections and those relationships to where maybe you have something that you can help them with, you know, and build a win-win where you're both benefiting each other. I think that's important. But, man, we've ran out of time. I thank, you know, everybody for, you know, calling into the show tonight and coming, and to those that, you know, hung out in the chat room, to those that, you know, listen to the show live, and to the definitely all of you that called in today to participate you know, in the show. I thank you so much, Stephen, you know, for calling in. I know that you're busy, you know, at work tonight. And then I thank you, Josh, for calling in and always supporting what I do here at Flava News Radio. And Catherine,
yes.
my girlfriend, I love you dearly and I miss you. And I'm so glad that you called into the show tonight.
Yes, I'll do it again and I'll see you on the 17th.
Now, you, I saw you post that on the 17th. What's going on? Because, you know, I'm old and menopausal. What, I'm like, am I spacing something on the 17th?
I think it's April 17th.
We'll say it wrong. What's April 17th? Just remind me.
It's a show. It's for charity.
Oh, the one called, for Sadie,
yeah.
Lynn? Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I'm like, okay, what,
you'll
what's
be
going
there,
on
right?
on the 17th? I'm hoping to be able to be there.
Okay.
I will let you
yeah.
know for sure if I'm not at work. But yeah, there
okay.
is an event that's taking place at Fusion's Lounge for a little baby girl that is the daughter of one of my daughter Mariko's girlfriends, and she is got a brain tumor, and just really really sad. Really sad situation, and the parents are just not ready to give up. The doctors are saying they can't do anymore, and they are holding a hip-hop fundraiser here in Seattle, Washington, and several other events, but you can find out more about this at www.sadiesfight.com. You can see pictures of Sadie Lynn and read her story and find out about the different events there. So I'm so glad you brought that up because I just like, okay, what is April 17th? What is Catherine talking about? So I will let you know for sure if I will be attending that event. But again,
great.
Thank you so much,
okay.
everybody, for tuning in tonight. I think I'm losing my voice or having allergy attacks, and I had this cough going on. So I apologize for my cough and my voice. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight and participating in the Artist Roundtable. Again, this was streaming live off of Flava News Radio and will be featured on Writings Radio over in London, UK. And I'm going to close out the show by playing one of my dear friends out of Houston, Texas, piece, and this is DeLon with his piece, Happy Home.
This relationship
Was DeLon with his piece, Happy Home. You have been listening to the Artist Roundtable, streaming live off Flava News Radio, also being featured on Ruddings Radio in the London, UK area. I want to thank everybody who tuned into the show live tonight, to those that called in and participated. This is where you, the underground independent artists and service providers to the artists, can call in and talk about a subject that's on your mind. Tonight I put out, you know, attitudes. Is it getting in the way, or is your attitude, you know, one that's taking you to the next level of being able to make moves as an artist? So great, great conversation. Come back, check out the archives. Otherwise, take care, God bless, and we will be back with another show on Flava News Radio.
Are you ready?
Play
I know you.